And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. We are your labor-related, current affairs-related, foreign policy-involved broadcasting here right on 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and to the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. Today, we're going to be speaking about a very important topic. That is the defense of Canada, specifically the defense of Canadian institution, Canada Post. And I'll be speaking with Mike Palasek, a national union rep from CUPW, the Union of Post Office Workers. So we're very pleased. I think we have him on the line. Mike, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you, Brendan?
Well, I'm very good. I'm very invigorated by these efforts by the postal workers and their allies and friends in the community. I've seen, you know, the websites that discuss these things. I've been to a couple of protests and demos, and I know there's activity happening in the city. Let me tell you, my friend David Rennie, he was really instrumental in getting things rolling here, right here in Hamilton, about the importance of this campaign. He's been giving out those lawn signs that say Save Canada Post. We were at the Art Crawl, a very important event culturally in the city. He had 100 or 200 of them stacked up, and he signed up people. He gave away all those signs, Save Canada Post. A lot of interest here in the community. I know you've been following the issue very carefully in organizing this, and I guess, you know, for the people that haven't been able to catch all of the events and stories around this, obviously we're looking at major changes or cuts proposed to Canada Post. And it goes back until at least 2013, at least a year ago. So I'm wondering if you could start maybe by telling us, you know, why does the government want to change Canada Post? What's their rationale? What is it exactly that they're proposing to do?
Well, that's a very good question, what the rationale is. We're not entirely sure. The rationale appears to be based on fictional numbers resulting from a Conference Board of Canada report. You know, we're getting this chicken little story from both Canada Post and from the Conservative government. They're trying to argue that the sky is falling when the reality is that Canada Post has turned a profit 17 of the last 19 years. But what they're proposing is a whole series of cuts to public service, really. They're talking about the end of door-to-door mail delivery. They're talking about franchising postal outlets so that have people working minimum wage in these post offices. They're talking about a dramatic increase in the price of stamps. They're talking about attacking wages and pensions of their workers. So really, it's a complete plan to restructure the post office, and we don't think that it has the best interests of Canadian citizens in mind.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it seems to be lower service or lower rates of service for higher cost. That's the sense I'm getting. And there are public unions and other organizations in Canada, like Council of Canadians, that have experience with these kind of initiatives and privatizations as they apply to other sectors in Canada, like healthcare and education. But I know that there have been studies commissioned on this, even by Canada Post itself. So back a year ago, it was commissioning, you know, surveys, studies, and I think even some kind of public thing where the public could be consulted or send their opinions. So I'm wondering, what was the outcome of that process about a year ago when Canada Post was looking to see what the public thought about the changes to Canada Post?
Well, that's again, a very interesting question, because they've said that they've had these consultations all across the country, but they won't really release the results of those consultations, only their version of the results. And in fact, when Member of Parliament Paul Doerr directly asked the CEO of Canada Post, Deepak Chopra, at the Transport Committee meeting whether they would table that information in Parliament so parliamentarians could take a look at it, he wouldn't answer. They're only going to give their version of the events. But we're fairly confident, and every poll that we've seen indicates that the people of this country are solidly against the plan that the Harper government is putting forward. They're in favor of defending Canada Post and the services it provides.
Yes, the numbers I saw did not seem to indicate there was a lot of support for cuts to services or making people go to those boxes outside of their houses and so on. You know, there wasn't a lot of support for that, but there always is support for positive improvements and positive reforms. And it seems, you know, according to the actual numbers, in terms of the surveys that I've seen, something like almost 2/3 of Canadians, 64%, I think, were supporting the idea, for example, of postal banking. You know, this is something that the CUPW has been big on once you heard these studies. And that's kind of a new concept to a lot of people. Can you tell us what postal banking is?
Sure, yeah. This is something that actually most countries outside of North America have implemented. In most countries, the post office also functions as a public bank. So citizens have the right to a bank account at their public post office. And what that means is that, you know, the private banks don't have an absolute monopoly in those countries. And also, every post office is a bank branch. So if they were to do this in Canada, and we know that Canada Post looked at it, we know that they were studying it, we know that they said it was a win-win situation in their own documents, we know that their own documents said that this was profitable, that it was a way they could save Canada Post, and while somewhere in there, the Harper government tried to kill it instead. But just looking at the facts, there are over 1,200 communities in this country that have a post office but don't have a single bank branch. So these are all people who would be very well served by a public postal bank. You have hundreds of thousands of Canadians who can't even get a bank account because the banks won't let them open one, whether it's because of their financial situation or credit history or whatnot. And they're forced to use these check cashing places that take a cut of each paycheck they make. This is outrageous, and it's something that could be solved very easily with the introduction of postal banking in this country.
Well, I think so. I mean, if there's a lot of people that, even if they have a bank, they're unsatisfied or left unsatisfied by their bank's functions. I mean, there's a lot of unnecessary user fees. They're charging you money for the privilege of holding your money in the bank. There's a lot of inconveniences and difficulties. Not everyone has access to alternatives like credit unions and so on. But if Canada Post had a public banking system, that would provide another option for consumers and for citizens who already pay into these systems.
Absolutely. And in countries where they have postal banks, you'll see that the service fees at the regular banks are actually much lower. And it's because they're forced to compete with this public competition, which can help bring those rates down. The reason we pay some of the highest banking and ATM fees in the world in this country is precisely because there isn't a public option.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see some competition for the banks. I can see why they might not be in favor of that. But the thing is, Canada Post is a trusted institution, and this is something the surveys have shown. It's something that has what you might call brand recognition among Canadians. I know that if I mail a letter, it's going to go through the Canada Post system and get there. I don't think I've ever had a case personally where a letter didn't reach its destination. So we know how to use that system. And even if mail, paper mail is on the decline, there's other services, as you point out, such as postal banking, which is done in a lot of countries, Switzerland, whatever you name it. You can do that. So it's the system's already in place in the sense that you have a Canada-wide institution, you have outlets that can deal with Canadians and their home addresses, all that. That sort of information, right? The infrastructure is already in place.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, there are more Canada Post locations in Canada than there are every other bank branch combined. So it would instantly create the most accessible bank in the country. It's a real common sense solution. But as you mentioned, there's a variety of services that Canada Post could be providing. They could be leveraging the infrastructure they have to offer new services to Canadians. And that's exactly what post offices are doing around the world. Here, we don't seem to see any appetite for innovation. We don't seem to see a management wanting to look for new areas of revenue, new areas of business that can keep the whole service running. Their answer seems to be cut, 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 and we think that's the wrong approach. We think that this will actually kill Canada Post by jacking up prices, by reducing services. They're going to drive customers away.
You know, we've seen this before in Ontario under the Conservative government in the 90s. They had an approach that they called creating a crisis. And they talked about creating a crisis in education, creating a crisis in healthcare. And the idea was underfund something, let it happen to the point where there's service issues, service interruptions, don't modernize, make a public institution appear behind the times. And when the public becomes frustrated enough, you say that privatization is the solution. And you hand it over to your corporate friends, you hand it over to your CEO buddies, and there you go. Now they've got a money-making institution that was built on public money, and now they get to charge the public. So, you know, do you think that's what's happening here, the creation of a crisis?
Well, that's exactly what we think is happening. You know, number one, it's fairly clear that the crisis they're talking about is engineered. First of all, Canada Post is turning a profit. actually with just the profit that they made in the second quarter of this year, $67 million for the Canada Post group of companies. With just that money, they could not only maintain door-to-door delivery, but they could actually expand it to another 360,000 new addresses that currently don't get door-to-door delivery, and they would still be in the black. So we know that, one, this crisis is artificial. And number two, we also know that Canada Post is both the most extensive retail network in the country and the most extensive delivery network in the country. And we think the private sector is salivating at the prospect of getting their hands on this infrastructure and getting it cheap.
Yeah. And as a story we've seen before, and it happens a lot in North America, as you point out, a lot of the positive initiatives, postal banking and things like that, happen outside North America, where they're not always on this cut-driven race to the bottom ideology here. I know in the United States, education is, there's a crisis of a similar nature with similar proposed solutions. So, you know, I'm glad you're doing this kind of work, and it seems a lot of Canadians agree with you that, you know, Canada Post, It's a big widespread institution that may deliver services that other companies or corporations won't, and it will do it in locations that other companies may not find profitable. So it is truly a Canada-wide service. So a lot of people have gotten up to defend this despite the lack of coverage in the corporate media. And I know there have been events locally in Hamilton. I for instance, was at one such event. It was a surprise visit by the Prime Minister. Harper went to the airport, so some people came as an anti-war and Save Canada Post rally, and some post office workers were present there and supporters with signs saying Save Canada Post. But Toronto had a bigger event. I did not get to attend that, unfortunately, but I understand people bust in from Hamilton. I don't know if you're aware of that event in particular, but do you know about the larger events being organized in bigger cities?
Sure. I think you're referring to the mass picket at Joe Oliver's office just a couple weeks ago. I was there myself. We had several hundred people come out to picket the office of the finance minister over this issue. But actually, our members, and not just our members, but communities from coast to coast to coast are organizing on this issue. We have people out knocking on doors. We have demonstrations being organized, town hall meetings, petitions being signed. We have these Save Door-to-Door signs going up all over the place. We're in full-scale campaign mode on this across the country. But it's an issue that I think really resonates with a lot of people, because people don't want to lose this service. And we're hearing a lot from people with mobility issues, from senior citizens, who are saying that they can't go out and be expected to walk several blocks every day to get to their new group mailbox. So I think this is an issue that touches a lot of people, not just postal workers.
Yes, and you know, people might not be connected to this thing, and they might want to get involved in several ways. Now, first of all, I know there's at least two or three websites on this. What are the main websites people can go to get information about the campaign?
Well, probably the best one is our campaign website, which is savecanadapost.ca. And people can get information about what's going on at Canada Post, also upcoming events that are happening all over the country. But I think another way people can get involved is to contact their members of parliament. Contact their members of parliament and tell them that you want to save Canada Post. Tell them that you don't support these cuts. And I know in Hamilton there's a couple of conservative MPs in that area there who actually voted against the opposition motion to save door-to-door delivery. Both David Sweet and Dean Allison voted in favor of these cuts by voting against that opposition motion. So give them a call and tell them what you think.
Absolutely. And maybe it's a little tricky, but how do you get a hold of one of those signs, the lawn signs that say Save Canada Post?
Well, you can contact us through that website at savecanadapost.ca. There's also a 1-800 number that's available there. I don't have it in front of me, but you can find it on that website. You can go to cupw.ca, which is our union's website. There are lots of ways to get in touch with us, and we can make sure you get one of those signs.
Great. Well, Mike, thanks so much. This is great to hear about, and I hope we can maybe have interviews in other cities as well, spreading the word about this campaign. So I want to thank you very much for being on the program with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that was Mike Palasek, a national union rep with the CUPW, Canadian Union of Postal workers. And I know Dave Rennie in this city was giving out a lot of those lawn signs, as I mentioned. So if you know him, you might want to get a hold of him. There's other ways to do it. What we're talking about here is a campaign, not just to save Canada Post, but to improve Canada Post. Along, you know, with the march of technology, other postal services and institutions around the world have modernized and updated their postal service. I know that there's a lot of, you know, letters, snail mail that the circulation has been falling off. But as we pointed out, countries like Switzerland have reformed their post office to have financial options for consumers, for citizens, so you can use it as a postal banking service. And that's interesting because, you know, Switzerland, for example, they have a very strong financial sector, a very big private finance banking sector. Nonetheless, their citizens wanted the option of a public post-based banking system, and they did. They have it now, and it's great. So, you know, we can do that too. So we don't have to just shred it to pieces and hand it off to some private corporation. So I'm glad people are standing up for this. You know, it reminds me, I was just watching the parliamentary question period on the campaign against ISIS, as they call it, you know, this big war campaign. And there's a lot of conservatives beating their chests saying, oh, we got it. We're going to take these bad guys out and blah, 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 and so on and so on. And they talk about how brave they are. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what happens over there. We're losing on the home front. Okay, how many Canadian institutions are we going to lose? You're going to let Canada Post just fall by the wayside? How much of Canada do you want to save? There's a war going on the home front right here. And, you know, I'm glad that you got Canadians like Mike standing up for this institution that could be reformed to even better serve everyone across the country. So we can be grateful for those kind of efforts. I mean, I have a lot more to say about ISIS, but maybe we'll let some of our future interview guests talk about this war campaign. Coming up in a few minutes after the 5:30 point, we have an interesting update on some cases and trials with regard to Africa, with regard to tribunals against genocide and so on. But I wanted to mention, if you like this kind of coverage, we provide independent reporting here. It's an alternative to the corporate media. You hear questions and interviews and guests here that you would not hear on the corporate-backed media, or even not necessarily on CBC, you know, our supposedly public broadcaster. We are a third option for Canadians. And we have been nominated, I'm very pleased to say, for the Hamilton Independent Media Awards. And this is a new award institution. It's called the Maggies, after one of our own beloved broadcasters here at CFMU. And it's really an honor for this program to be nominated. Of course, we want to continue in the legacy of providing community-based coverage and reporting alongside our issues of labor, foreign affairs, and things like that. So if you want to vote for us and support for us, of course, you're welcome to do so. And you can do so just by going online to www.himas.ca, HIMAS, HIMAS.ca. That stands for the Hamilton Independent Media Awards, so HIMAS.ca. You can also just look it up on a search engine, Hamilton Independent Media Awards. And we have been nominated in two categories. In this case, they're host-based categories. So it's my name, Brendan Stone. You can find it in politics reporting and social justice, human rights reporting. And it's too bad our co-host Doug isn't up there as well. Maybe he'll get nominated next year. He's been doing a lot of good interviews this year too. But in any case, you can go up there and vote in those categories and for other people in other categories. There's five whole categories. So I encourage you to do so at www.himas.ca.